Let the church say amen. Amen. Brother Clarence brought up a spirited song there, so everybody's voice pitched in. Amen. And that's good. We may be small in numbers, but the voices were heard this morning. And we thank Brother Clarence for his stepping in and filling in and being the song leader that he was this morning. This morning, God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, we didn't have to be here this morning. But thank God we are. And let us be here for none other than the purpose of serving God in spirit and in truth. Never mind what's going on outside, but be aware of what's going on inside. So let us praise God this morning and offer praises unto him. The scripture was read for your hearing from the Luke the 15th chapter, starting at verse number 1. We shall do a bit more in this 15th chapter, but we want to look at the first 7 verses as a text reading this morning. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home to call it together, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This morning we want to talk about seeking the lost. And before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. O righteous God, which art in heaven, blessed be your name, O Heavenly Father, for we are so thankful this morning that you have given us another opportunity that we may come out and serve thee in spirit and in truth. You gave us the way, Jesus. You gave us the place, the Church of Christ. You gave us everything we need, the Bible and your word. For this we are eternally grateful. We want to thank you this morning, Father, for so much, and you ask so little of us. You just ask us for a couple of hours each week to come out and to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning for all who are here in the audience this morning. We pray and thank you for those who still might be on their way, that they may get here safely. We pray for those who might be traveling, that you give unto them traveling grace and arriving mercy, O Lord. We thank you, God, for everything that you do for us. We thank you for the morsels that we put in our mouths this morning, for the roof over our heads last night, for the clothing you gave us to wear to come to church this morning. But most of all, we thank you for the one who marched up Calvary's hill, hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross for us. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We thank you for the men who have served or who will be serving from this point on, as well as for their families. We thank you for each and every member in the audience this morning. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we all might learn something this morning. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us. We pray for our politicians, O Lord, that they may not make anything, any rules or regulations that prevent us from serving you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the soldiers who stand on the front lines of battles all over the world protecting the home front. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the policemen, the firemen, and all law enforcement. We thank you for the doctors and the lawyers and those who serve our every need when we need them, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. We thank you for the parents who are raising their children. We pray, O Lord, that you give them the fortitude and the strength to bear and to raise their children up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, we pray for those who might be sick and shut in. We just thank you for them, and we pray for those who may have lost loved ones this morning. We pray that you strengthen them as well. Thanking you right now, Heavenly Father, for anything, everything, and all things you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, seeking the lost. From the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, there are three parables up for discussion this morning. Today, no doubt you may be familiar with at least one, if not all of them. A parable is an illustration to help people understand something. It presents a subject and it tells a story to bring home a point. There is the matter that some will debate that the third one that we're going to discuss this morning is really not a parable. But my theory is that it was in the Bible, therefore man needs to hear it and accept it as the words of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus speaks all of these from his own mouth. The one thing that all these parables have in common is the theme of loss. The first one, the lost sheep. Picture, if you will, a wandering sheep, one who gets away from the secured group. Not only does he leave the other sheep, but he leaves the security of the shepherd. That is the potential of danger for the stray one. There is a potential of danger for the stray one. It becomes prey for other animals. It can get itself crippled or even killed. Sometimes Christians can stray. And just like the sheep in this parable, we become prey. We can get hurt or crippled. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 16, the Bible tells us, if any man sees his brethren sin, or sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give life for them that sin not be not unto death. There is a sin unto death. This tells us that the right thing for those who have not left the sanctity of God's word is to pray for them that have left. Pray for them that have drifted away. We know that according to Romans 6 and verse number 3, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we are to pray and ask God for help on their behalf. We are not to leave them alone when we have the opportunity to help them to be restored. In our text, we can see the importance of going after the lost. Look at verse number 4, if you will, of Luke chapter 15, where Jesus asked the question. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? If we lose one of the flock, we should be ready to go after that one. Search until we find him or her. Leaving the secured group behind till we find the one that has strayed away. And somebody may have the question in mind of why do we need to go after him? Because there is danger when one gets away from the shepherd. And Jesus is our shepherd. Their security, their well-being, and their soul is at stake. Look at verse number 5, if you will, of the text. And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. When we find that one, we edify or lift him up. We need to tell your friends and neighbors to rejoice because we have found that which was lost. Let others in the church know that you are rejoicing that we have found the straying. And Jesus said in verse number 7 that heaven will rejoice. Isn't that wonderful thing, church, when we can get... I was at a church one time, and a man came back to church who had been out of church for a gazillion years. And that I don't think there was a dry eye in the house when that person stood up and asked to be restored. Somebody had went to work on him for many years. They went to work on him and they brought this person back. So I say to you in verse number 7, I say unto you likewise, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just person which needs no repentance. So when you help to bring one back, there's joy, and there should be joy in your heart. So like the lost sheep, we need to make sure that we don't lose anyone and not offer any kind of help or any kind of help to get them to be restored. The lost coin is like a lost soul who has left God's service. As in verse number 8, look at verse number 8, if you will. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? A lost soul is like that lost coin because they have left God's service. That lost coin can be of no service to one till one finds it. We find the parable of the lost soul, a coin that cannot be found has become of no use in the service, like a Christian has become of no use in the service of God. So what did that lady do? She lit her lamp and she sweeps till she finds it. When one is missing from the service of the Lord, we need to exert every effort to find them. Thank God for telephones today. We need to be looking to find out what happened to them. Just like that elusive coin is of no use to the woman because she doesn't know where it's at. What has happened to the lost soul? Perhaps that person has become tied up and tangled up in the affairs of life. For a Christian, lost soul means that their light has gone dim or perhaps even gone out. It means they have left their first love. According to Revelations 2 and 4, Jesus said, "He has somewhat aught, somewhat against thee," according to the Bible. Do you remember when you first fell in love? Oh, some of you are going to have to search back for a little bit now. Do you remember when you first fell in love with that special someone? You didn't think that there was anyone like him or her. Yet over time, sometimes that love seems to dwindle a little bit. It seems to retreat somewhat. Let me tell you what I believe will help. You need to fall back in love with him or her all over again. Jesus said in Revelations 2 and 5, "Remember therefore from where thou hast fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent." When one is lost like a coin, he needs to make sure he gets back in with the Lord's service. We need to get right with the Lord, for we never know when he shall come. One who has left his love, his first love for the Lord and his church, needs help to get right with him by repenting and returning. Look at verse number 9, if you will. "And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbor together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." Verse 10 says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You know, being lost is not a good thing, church. Leaving the service of the Lord, leaving the service, the church, and in the service of the Lord is not a very good thing at all. But I like how Jesus sums it all up in both of these two parables. Both in verse number 7 of the first parable and verse number 10 of the second one. He says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. But then this final lost piece, a lost parable, is about the lost son. This is the one of the story most every Bible student has heard, and many have heard it from a youngster on up. Many have heard it talked about over and over again in the service of the Lord. In the 11th verse of chapter 15 of the book of Luke, look at verse number 11, if you will. In a certain man had two sons. We know that this man had two sons. And we find out that the youngest of the two sons had a desire to leave home. So many church folk want to seek out life beyond the church. But that's not a good thing always. It's never a good thing. In verse number 12, his father gave unto him his living that he asked for and desired to have. Look at verse number 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me that portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. And so when you think about it, he wanted to stray off. He had a desire to leave home. And so many times when church folk have that desire in their hearts to leave the church, they began to wonder and they began to seek. They want to seek and they want to find. We can sometimes talk our heads off, but it may not make any difference to one who has made up his mind to go. So look at verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance with riotous living. To one who has made up his mind to go, he oftentimes finds a challenge in leaving, or so he thinks he finds a challenge in leaving the church. Sometimes church members want to get away from the church to be what they consider to be free from seeing the same old church folk every Sunday, hearing the same old teaching and preaching about Jesus and him crucified and being raised. In other words, they don't want to hear about the gospel anymore, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So some leave. They journey away from the church. They may even think to themselves, no more church every Lord's Day. No more giving every Lord's Day. No more Christian obligations. No more speaking and shaking hands with those same old people every Sunday. But I got some news for you. There's nothing wrong with hearing the same old thing preached over and being taught the same old thing over and over again. God has a way of bringing us back to reality. After wasting oneself, sometimes losing all that one may have gained, wasting one's money, wasting one's character, and most of all, wasting one time like the son did. Look at the text, if you will, again, in verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there, watch this word, wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, serving the Lord is never wasted, but he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he wasted everything that he had accumulated or that he had gotten from his father. In verse number 17, I want you to notice something there. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Once we come to ourselves, we find ourselves in a situation that most of the time we don't care to be in. He found himself falling that he had fallen from the Father's house to the garbage-eating cuisine of the pigs. He found himself dining on the cuisine that ordinary people would not eat. When one leaves God, he may find himself doing things and living like he never thought he would. One can find himself a distance away from the comforts of the Father's house to the filthiness of wallowing in the mud. Before one decides to leave, I suggest they do some soul searching. I suggest they do some soul searching before they decide that the church is no longer for me. I'd like to say, shake hands with those same old folk. Hear the same old message over and over again. Keep on giving. Keep on living your life in God. Put your life in God's hands that you may keep on living. But I want you to notice what happened here now. In verse number 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, he began to be in want. A Christian out of the service of God may find himself in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk of that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But I like verse number 17, because the Bible says, and when he came to himself. Not he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and now I am no more, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to him, to his father. But when he was yet a great distance way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. God will welcome you back into his service if you want to come back. Make your way home if you have left. Find the road that will return, not the road of no return, but find the road that will return you back. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. This man didn't even have shoes any longer. He had left. A Christian who leaves the service of the Lord may find himself destitute and out of touch and in despair. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. But you know, it's always somebody in the church that ain't not going to want to see you come back. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he wanted to know what this all meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he received him safe and sound. Everybody ought to rejoice when one comes back. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Sometimes we have to be a little cautious with certain people. We have to learn to treat them kindly as well. And he answering him said to his father, although these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. Somebody in the church is always going to have a complaint about the way you do things in the church. But you know something? Look how kindly this father dealt with him. He said, but as soon as thy son was came, which has devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Look what the father said. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You had it all the time when you stayed in the service of the Lord. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Isn't that something? Oh, yes. It's worth an amen, isn't it, church? Yes, sir. One can feed himself, find himself a great distance away from the comfort of the Father's house when he drifts away from the service of the Lord. Before you take a vote to leave God, we need to consider what God has done for us. Watch what God has done for us. I want you to notice, look at me, if you will, with me to Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and verse number 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God will be with you if you just do the right thing. And look what he says further on in verse number 11. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So this morning, church, before you decide to leave the service of the Lord, and I'm not accusing anybody of wanting to leave the service of the Lord, I'm just saying before you do, think on these things. Think on what the Lord will do for you if you just stick with him. We know it was a waste of time for the young man to leave home, but I think it was much better when he found himself and decided to go back home. When you think about leaving the service of the Lord, I want you to think very hard on these things. And I can attest to that. I tell you often, and I don't mind telling you every so often, that I left the church years ago. I didn't want any part of the church. I didn't want any part of any of the people that were in the church. I didn't want any part of what the church stood for. I just decided it was time for me to leave the church. And I told you how I got back in, but I'm going to tell you again because I need to hear it again myself. My youngest son asked his mother one day, he said, why do we have to go to church and he just drops us off? I couldn't answer him. I had no answer for him, but it spurred me to go back to the service of the Lord. And thank God I am happily in the service of the Lord. And all of us ought to be a little bit happy about being in the service of the Lord this morning. God is good. And all the time God is good. And I know that there are many places that many of you could say that I would rather be at this morning or that I could be at this morning. But I'll tell you something. There's no place like home, and the church should be one of your homes. The church should be home because guess what? We're making our way up the heavenly highway. Now, if you fall off the highway, you need to pick yourself back up, get back on the highway. And thank God that He leaves ways, a way for us to repent and to come back home. Just like the prodigal son came back home. Found himself. When he came to himself, he came and decided, I'm going to go back to my father's house. Have you left or are you thinking about leaving your father's house? Think heartily on those things before you do. Think handily on those things before you do. And you might ask the question this morning, how do I get in back into service of the Lord? Well, if you have left, you ask the Lord to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray for you. If you've never been in the service of the Lord, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And the water is ready, and Brother Jackson is always ready to baptize. So as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, the choice is yours.